William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com with another All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. In the show today, I'm sharing a 20-minute academic paper I presented at Taylor University that was part of the 9th Francis White Eubank Colloquium on C.S. Lewis and Friends. I gave my short talk on Friday, May 30th. By the way, I hope to also share other talks that were given at Taylor in the near future. The presentation I did was on quotations falsely attributed to Lewis. It was called What Lewis Never Wrote. You might remember that back in late January of this year, 2014, I posted on my EssentialCSLewis.com site an article that was a preliminary examination of quotes not by Lewis. A link to that is provided in the show notes. In addition to that link, I also provide the text of the handout I gave with the talk at Taylor, along with a link to the PDF version of it. Finally, when recording this talk, I neglected to consider the fact that when I was advancing the PowerPoint presentation, my recording device was too close to the computer I was using. So there will be, unfortunately, a number of annoying clicks that I was unable to edit out of the audio. With that said, I hope you enjoy the talk, and if you ever see a quote credited to Lewis that you question, you can contact me at 777email@gmail.com, and I'll try to figure it out for you. You can also use that email to reach me if you are interested in having me speak on this or another Lewis-related topic. Again, that's 777email@gmail.com. What Lewis Never Wrote, quotes misattributed to the Oxford professor, Don. I intentionally make that mistake because we're talking about quotes falsely attributed to C.S. Lewis. My name is William O'Flaherty, and I do a website called EssentialCSLewis.com. One of the many features there is the All About Jack podcast. Of course, saying that Lewis was an Oxford professor is not the worst error you could make. He was obviously only a Cambridge professor. In Oxford, he was known as a lecturer and tutor on English literature. One of his books noted he's a lecturer and tutor on English literature. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, though, this kind of error ranks kind of low. Yeah, 2 or 3 or 1, but you know, maybe you might say it ranked higher. Either way, it's not the worst error that you could say regarding Lewis. But, in an ultimate sense, something is either true or false. So we need to, you know, be careful to what we say Lewis said or facts about Lewis. So he was not an Oxford professor. He was an Oxford don. All right. Well, then, in the same way, a quotation is either by Lewis or it's not by Lewis. That sounds kind of obvious, but let's, you know, state the obvious. It doesn't matter if it's a statement that you like or how close it is to something that Lewis actually said. He either wrote it or he did not write it. Let me begin by using a quote that obviously Lewis did not say, but some people falsely attribute this quote to the Bible: money is the root of all evil. Of course, something very close to this is in the Bible, and it's in 1 Timothy 6:10, and it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. What does this have to do, this, you know, first quote that I'm sharing regarding Lewis? This is setting the stage for kind of an understanding as to why quotes I'm examining are likely misattributed to him. Part of it is the statement is close to what is right, or at least maybe some part of it. Today, as you maybe, if you've looked at the handout that I've given you, this is not an exhaustive look at every quote that is questionable. I tried to stick to quotes that not only we know for sure, and I'll explain why we know for sure that Lewis didn't write it, but who actually maybe said it, and maybe why Lewis was misattributed. Now, of course, or at least some part of it, as I was saying. Now, you may have actually heard of this quote by Lewis: nothing can deceive unless it bears a plausible resemblance to reality. It is from An Experiment in Criticism. So I thought this was a nice quote to set the stage. It also, ironically, kind of bears witness to one of the reasons why Lewis is misquoted, and that is when we find a quote that we agree with, it's nice to have some authority to have had said it, So it kind of adds credence to what you're wanting to, you know, say, hey, yeah, this is really true because this other person said it, so it just reconfirms. So we already believe it, in other words. So the authority is the bonus. Or in some cases, like with the Bible, something may not be quite right about a close book. We're just plain too lazy to look it up. Again, with the Bible one, if you're not too familiar with the Bible, then you're going to just say, okay, yeah, because you kind of gloss over it without paying attention to the fact that something is off or missing. Now, how do I know, how can I prove that Lewis didn't write something? I don't have, like Lewis, a photographic memory. There are a few works that I haven't read cover to cover. But with the advent of technology, nearly all of his works either are accessible electronically or you can buy them. There are a few minor works. I think Dimer, with being a narrative poem, you're not going to get anything probably standalone quote anyway. And another work, the O Hell volume, English Literature in the 16th Century, that is not available electronically. Aside from that, I either own or have access to versions of all of them, which means that you can search. That's how basically we can prove that Lewis didn't write something, is that we can search it. But okay, let's look at the first one, that Lewis never wrote. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. Well, this first quotation is one that actually we could probably spend the entire time talking about, but we don't have time. In your handout, there is a mention of the link. There's an article in Mere Orthodoxy from 2012. And then the year before that, someone's blog called Imperfect Reflections. He did also a article. His first one first tracked it down to a book from 1959 by Walter Miller. And the quote actually that's there is not the one that's misquoted to Lewis, but this is actually in the book. I'm taking it on authority that this person that did, you know, that's one of the part about being lazy. We know that I was lazy. I didn't actually pull the book out myself. But in the book, we have someone who is stating that you don't have a soul, doctor. You are a soul. You have a body temporarily. The Mere Orthodoxy takes it a step further because if you're thinking, okay, 1959, well, Lewis was, you know, alive then. Maybe this guy got the idea from something he supposedly read from Lewis, but we already established that. We can, you know, confirm that Lewis actually never wrote it. But we don't need to actually go that direction. In 1892, which is before Lewis was born, there was something in the British Friend, an article called Be Not Entangled Again in a Yoke of Bondage. And there we see this quote. This is actually an article that is saying that George MacDonald said it. Never tell a child, said George MacDonald, you have a soul, teach him you are a soul, you have a body. As we learn to think of things always in this order, that the body is but the temporary clothing of the soul, and there's a larger context to it, talking about grief. Now, you may be thinking, well, George MacDonald, Lewis really liked George MacDonald. Surely, he probably quoted him in his anthology, or in The Great Divorce when he asked George MacDonald, but he did not. Why did he get a tribute to Lewis? Well, that's a thing that we don't actually know, other than it sounds like it might be agreeable. Because if you take the quote in one sense, it might say to a lot of people, the material world is not all there is, and Lewis would agree with that. However, the 2011 article points out that this is too close, the quote itself, too close to a Gnostic belief. Now, the purpose of today is not to go into all the ramifications of that. You can search that out, but the bottom line here is Lewis did never write it, or he never wrote it. But what did he write? What did Lewis say close to this or relate it? From The Four Loves, we have this quote. Men has held three views of his body. First, there is that of those aesthetic pagans who first call it the prison or the tomb of the soul, and of Christians like Fisher, to whom it was a sack of dung. Food for worms, filthy, shameful, a source of nothing but temptation to bad men and humiliation to good ones. Then there are the neo-pagans, they seldom know Greek, the nudists and the sufferers from dark gods, to whom the body is glorious. But thirdly, we have the view which St. Francis expressed by calling his body Brother Ass. All three may be, I am not sure, defensible, but give me St. Francis for my money. All right, now let's consider then number two. is you are never too old to set a goal or to dream a new dream. Well, who doesn't believe that, right? For those of us over 40 or over 50, I'm now in the 50 and above club. I would like to believe this, but it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. I just need to not attribute it to Lewis, okay? This sounds more like what, from a motivational speaker. In fact, if you do your little research, and I have the actual address for the link, there is someone by the name of Les Brown, who is a, surprise, motivational speaker, and he actually uses this quote. Now, in the video on YouTube, he doesn't cite the source, and an earlier version, though, of his website, in other words, his website has since been revised, but you can actually access it. If you do a search for the quote, you will eventually get this, or if you type in his name, it'll bring up what is his old page. The new page doesn't say Les Brown, it just says motivational quotes. But this one, at least the web person who put it together, says he said it. I contacted him not too long ago and didn't hear back. But so it's possible that he actually said it, but we know that Lewis did never write it. But that is a possible source. All right, well, now, Lewis, though, as if you're in the talk that talked about Lewis's letters, has a lot of things that you can learn from. And he wrote many encouraging letters because there are people that came seeking his advice. And there are probably some additional quotes in addition to what I'm going to share in a minute. But the fact that Lewis wrote encouraging letters, if people know that, oh, he probably wrote that. No, he didn't. We can search his letters. But also, a reason why he is, maybe it's believable, is, well, after all, Lewis was successful in his 50s with the Narnia books. So maybe he thought it, he just didn't write it down. Well, prior to Narnia, though, he had massive success with the Screwtape Letters, which came out in book form in 1942, and this led to him being on the cover of Time in 1947. Though those who are only casually familiar with Lewis are surprised to learn that his cover on the Time wasn't for Narnia, it was before Narnia. So he had fame, so he did not have to think in terms of not being too old to set a new dream. This did remind me, though, growing up, or I remember hearing Colonel Sanders with Kentucky Fried Chicken. While he did sell the chicken before this time, it was not until he was in his 60s that the franchise, and I haven't seen a quote attributed to him, but that's something that I remember growing up, kind of, you know, something. All right, well, what did Lewis actually say in regards to progress or dreams? I might not be reading all these quotes here because you do actually have them on your handout, but here's a letter that he wrote in December of 1944 about progress. And actually, these quotes aren't exactly very motivational. If you read this one here, progress means getting near to a desired goal, and therefore it means not being there already. You know, I don't think someone's going to substitute this for the other one because it doesn't necessarily say much to what maybe someone wants to hear. Likewise, here's a letter from earlier in his life that I'm not going to read, in November of 1918, that he talks about dreams, and that when a dream becomes a fact, that it kind of loses something. And then here's another one on courage that is actually from the Screwtape Letters, which obviously is, if you know, most of you should be familiar, is usually written in the reverse in terms of concepts, but there are times to where a Screwtape slips up and states something that in a positive way or in a truth sense that you can just take straight. Here's one about it not being simply one of the virtues. And I Believe in Mere Christianity, or another work, he actually has that as well. All right, quote number 3. No clever arrangement of bad eggs has ever made a good omelet. C.S. Lewis? Well, someone said. This was a more recent one that I had come across. And I had some help from some friends. 2 hours after I posted it on a Facebook group called Virtual C.S. Lewis Society, Max McLean, he was able to let me know where it actually came from. It's from where the actual quote, not what we are attributing falsely to Lewis, but why it's probably misquoted as being attributed to Lewis. There's actually a quote in The Great Divorce, and it says, "What would you say if you went to a hotel where the eggs are all bad?" This is one of the characters. And when you complain to the boss, instead of apologizing and changing his dairyman, he just told you, if you tried, you could get to like bad eggs in time. And, of course, he's from the C.S. Lewis on stage. And then I think Will Voss joined in later and was also confirming the fact that this is not the quote that we're set the stage with is not from actually Lewis. Now, Lewis, though, did write many humorous things. So instead of passing around falsely or quotes that actually aren't by him, then you can, you know, go for others that actually are somewhat humorous. Here's one about the toenail not being a brain that is in one of his letters. And then actually he wrote something similar in terms of, you know, a contrast. An elephant is not more important than a man, or a man's leg than his brain. That's in the essay Christian Apologetics and God in the Dock. And then maybe more directly humorous, a man is fairly sober as long as he knows he's drunk, from Answers to Questions on Christianity and God in the Dock. Again, these are all in the handout. And then there's also this one I like from Miserable Offenders, which was a sermon. Those who do not think about their own sins often make up for it by thinking incessantly about the sins of others. We don't have to raise our hand. We all know people like that, right? You understand sleep when you're are not awake, not while you're sleeping, from Mere Christianity. And then this one, I had several others. I don't remember when I was editing here. I may have added, or I may have left on some other ones. And there are many others. I posted an article on my blog about this. But the favorite one here, a cold, self-righteous prig who goes regularly to church may be far more nearer to hell than a prostitute. But of course, it is better to be neither. Fourth quote that Lewis never wrote but is attributed to him is one that stands out a little bit differently in that it's actually a pretty fair adaptation of what he has said. In other words, it's a good paraphrase of sorts. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Lewis never wrote it, and I'll share what he actually said in a moment here. But of course, there's nothing wrong with humility, right? We all intend to write a book, How I Became Humble, and You Can Too, right? We're all working on that bestseller. Lewis would agree with the original statement if he heard it, but he didn't write it, which is, of course, the main point that we're hammering home here. Who did? In this case, we do actually know, like in the first case, we didn't have the exact quote, but we have it tracked down as to, you know, where it came from. This one, though, is clearly, if you go into chapter 9, well, it's not chapters in The Purpose-Driven Life, but on day 19, a chapter called Cultivating Community, Rick Warren makes this very statement. And if you're familiar with the book, it's footnoted quite well. And it is interesting, though, that maybe, you know, Rick had been reading Mere Christianity, which is where the quote is falsely attributed to. There is a statement that is somewhat similar, but it doesn't stand alone like the quotable quote that is not by Lewis. But Rick Warren is the original source. This is what Lewis has said in Christian Behavior from Mere Christianity. It is far better to forget about yourself altogether. That doesn't stand alone by itself, though, right? And this is from the Great Sin in that book. He also said, will not be thinking about humility, he will not be thinking about himself at all. If anyone would like to acquire humility, what is the first step? And you can read what Lewis actually said, so read that one is proud. So you could take those two statements and, you know, come up with what is attributed to Lewis, but you can't say it's by him, because it's not. All right, and then these quotes are actually in some further support for other things that Lewis said that should be touted about online, on Twitter, and all that. So number five, real quick. Education without values, as useful as it is, seems rather to make a man a more clever devil. Lewis didn't say this. If you take the time, which is one of the points that I'm going to kind of rush to for the summary, is that if you're not paying close attention, this sounds like Lewis, but it's not saying the following. This is my restatement of it. A valueless education might make you clever, but without morals, you are closer to being a devil. This is not what the quote's saying, but Lewis would probably agree with that. In a private email, Dr. Bruce Edwards points out that, don't miss out, this quote is saying, education without values, as useful as it might be. Well, Lewis, in the Abolition of Man, clearly states that education without values is not useful. So Lewis could not have said that. What did Lewis say? For the sake of time, I'll let you look on the handout, or if you're quick, you can read it from Abolition of Man, Chapter 3. You probably have heard more commonly, though, this one from Chapter 1. I do give you a couple additional sentences about the task of the modern educator. It's not to cut down jungles, but to irrigate deserts. And then there's a further awkward there. So, conclusion. Why are quotes falsely attributed to Lewis? Well, one of the reasons is people just don't read them very carefully. I actually had, like, the last one, I had a lot of problem with going, okay, now why is this not from Lewis? And it's just, when you point it out, it's like, oh yeah, that's very clear. And then I also have noted that make the statement yet, but people who are not familiar enough with Lewis don't know what he sounds like, and so they might say, okay, this is probably what Lewis said, because it sounds like him. But if you haven't read a lot by him, you don't truly know what he sounds like. And then people often take, as we noted earlier, beliefs that they already hold and look for support. And so that's why when they say it's from somebody, it's like, oh, here's my support. But all these misquotes, should we just throw up our hands, stop using Twitter, Facebook, because people falsely attribute quotes? No. This shows hope. It's also a challenge in that it confirms that we live in a culture that is looking for answers. But it's also one that's very distracted, that doesn't particularly pay close attention to their sources. So this can make our job more difficult at times. However, it keeps us employed, so to speak. If people already knew the truth, they wouldn't need us to tell them that. This concludes my presentation. And be sure to stop by on my website.